Howdy, it's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in Thursday night football, the Chiefs play the Raiders tonight. Now, let's talk about this new abortion bill.
Well, it's the heartbeat bill, and this was passed by Ohio lawmakers on Tuesday. They would ban abortions in that state from the moment that the heartbeat of a fetus can be detected. That usually happens about 6 weeks into a pregnancy. So that's the shortest window of time that you have to get an abortion.
No, I mean, by the way, man, if it got a heartbeat, that's murder. If the heart is beating, Jesus Christ.
All right, well, and that means even in cases of rape or incest or anything.
Oh, so. They can't do that.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's different.
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump.
Okay.
Now, what, he got somebody in his cabinet now? He picked somebody else?
He has picked Linda McMahon, who's the former CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE. She is going to be the administrator of the Small Business Administration. So he said that Linda has a tremendous background and is widely recognized as one of the country's top female executives advising businesses around the globe. She helped grow WWE from a modest 13-person operation to a publicly traded global enterprise with more than 800 employees and offices worldwide.
That may not be a bad pick. At first, I was thinking about what Mark Lamont Hill said the other day when he said leadership isn't transferable. Like, because you can lead one thing doesn't mean you can lead another. But, I mean, it is small business, right? And if she did
help take the co-founder of the WWE.
She did take the WWE to, you know, new heights.
Now, she tweeted out, honored to be appointed by President-elect Donald Trump to serve as head of Small Business Administration, advocating for our small businesses and entrepreneurs.
It just sounds crazy when you say you have somebody that used to work at WWE.
Right. Well, founded the WWE, not just worked there.
Founded with who? Vince McMahon.
Yeah, with her husband. Co-founded it.
It sounds crazy when you say WWE. Somebody that used to work at WWE is in the White House now.
Right.
Part of a presidential cabinet, whatever the hell.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Why is it a cabinet?
I don't know.
Like, why not a shelf? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
A fridge, maybe. Like, why a cabinet?
I don't know.
Because there's several people just like you put a bunch of things in the cabinet.
Put a bunch of things in the refrigerator.
And close the door.
And close the door in the refrigerator.
Okay, so next, so we call it the refrigerator
and it's room
next
temperature.
Time.
Sounds
it is room temperature.
I guess presidential cabinet sounds better.
All right, well, that's front page news. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad night, a bad morning. Whatever it may be, 800-585-1051. Call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. You know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell them why you're mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Tell them why you're mad. Hello, who's this?
Yo, MV, what's going on? Good morning, Angela. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Good
morning. Yo, so I want to talk about the, you know, I know it's kind of a couple of days in, but I want to talk about the Tammy Lawrence situation, how people reacted to it. Mm-hmm. And I know Charlamagne is probably tired of hearing about it, but I do believe that it's important for us to have conversations, which you were talking about. The only thing that I disagree with you about, Charlamagne, is that sometimes you trivialize things. And I know from your angle, you're trying to, like, you know, make light of certain situations, but sometimes there is no light to be made. Like, you're with someone that's, like, straight up, you know, serious about their situation. And then sometimes you're talking to them, and then you just make light about it all the time. So I'm angry about that, but I'm not angry about the fact that you had a conversation with her about trying to find out how what their outlook is and how they feel about us and trying to make some way to, like, you know, change their perspective a little bit.
You didn't like the presentation.
I mean,
the presentation, yeah. You know what? He does it all the time. Like, he'll have
exactly.
a serious topic. That really needs something that's a really serious outlook. And you're not an activist, so, you know what I mean?
Nope.
I'm not expecting you to just be, like, you know, slinging the Bible all the time. But sometimes you make light of serious situations, and then people feel like you don't care.
I mean,
or
I
like it's not that important.
If I didn't care, I wouldn't be talking about it. If I didn't care,
I
wouldn't be involved.
But not everybody interprets it that way, Solomon. Like, I might see it and look at it like you're not an activist. Some people really come to you for advice.
All right, fair enough. That's his opinion.
Thank you for calling,
you're right.
Sir.
I will say this, though. I'm not responsible for people's interpretation, because people's interpretation, especially in this era, is crazy.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, man, this is D from the Brick City.
Oh, boy. Tell him why you mad, bro.
Right,
go ahead.
Here we go.
I'm not mad this morning. I was just calling up because the year's almost over, and I just wanted to thank you guys for entertaining me every morning and letting me call up to here every now and then and get a little hate off my chest.
Well, thank you for entertaining us as well.
And I also wanted to let Charlamagne know that he really inspires me. Because for a guy to have no talent at all, he's really come a long way. I mean, I don't know who he gave his butt to, but my God, brother.
Talk about. First of all, the era of people with no talent prospering has been going on for about 15 years in America, sir. The Kardashians, our president-elect Donald Trump. I'm sorry if you haven't figured out a way to come up without no talent.
Hey, man, I'm about to quit my job and move out.
No. You don't got what it takes.
Thank you.
All right? You don't got what it takes, sir. Okay?
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Robert from New York, man.
Tell him why you mad, bro.
I'm mad because, man, I've been going on Twitter a lot, and I hear everybody calling Southboy whack. I be like, Southboy do a lot of stupid stuff, but I be like, he ain't whack, though, man. Like, Southboy know how to write music. That's all I be saying to people. Like, Southboy ain't whack, though.
Now, listen, right. Soulja Boy is what you call whack lyrically, but he does know how to make good songs. That I'll give him. I mean, we can't act like Soulja Boy don't got about 3-4 hits out here.
Absolutely.
Crank that. Hop about the bed, turn my swag on. My joint was kissing me through the phone. You got joints?
Hello, who's this?
This is Jack. This is Jack.
All right, this sounds like a fake name, Jack.
No, I don't want to give my, but I'm mad because my friend, I don't promote the use of illicit substances, whatever, but he took the mushy-mushy kind that make him vent his feelings. He keeps calling me, coming to my house, venting about his girl leaving him. Now, he's a man that he gets girl. He does his thing. But I keep telling him, like, yo, shut up, dude. You kill him on it. Make my friends leave. Everybody just, he can't stop. I'm tired.
He's
I don't know
coming
what to tell
you
him
for
anymore.
Advice.
He's hurt, man.
He's venting.
He's emotional.
I know, but he got to get over it. I've been hurt, too. I've been in the same boat. I did that. But you got to get over it. Sometimes maybe it's not the girl. Maybe you did something that's wrong.
Well, he's not over it yet.
Even if it is the girl.
That's wrong.
Even if it is a girl, you got to be like Wolverine when it comes to hurt, bro. Get over it. It's called. You got to heal fast out here in these streets.
All right. Thank you for calling, bro.
And the best way to heal is to get into some other vagina.
Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you could call us right now. Now, we have Bill Simmons joining us a little bit. He created 30 for 30. He was on ESPN. I believe he's on HBO now.
Yeah, that's Boston's own Bill Simmons. Since we're broadcasting live from Jammin' 94.5 in Boston, we decided to get a homegrown hero of y'all's. And bring him here.
All right.
We didn't do the typical thing like go get BBD because we black.
Bro.
All right.
Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Hold Up Beyonce. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now we are broadcasting live from Boston.
Yeah, we are broadcasting live from Boston. That guy, and tell him why you mad, brought up a good point because I was watching Denzel Washington go off on the press yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just saying how if you don't read the newspaper, you're not informed. If you read the newspaper, then you're misinformed.
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it. Sell it. Anything you practice, you'll get good at, including BS.
And you know, that guy brought up a good point about interpretation. I think that's another part that's messed up with the game because people interpret things. Like they'll see something that happened and then write their interpretation of it instead of just reporting the story.
Right. And he says the press is selling BS.
Denzel is so dope because Denzel's always in character. Denzel is always Denzel.
Denzel like a
looked
day.
At the press and he said, oh, what a job you guys have. And he just looked at all of them and nodded his head. Oh, it was so ill.
My goodness. All right. Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Oh, what a job you have.
Yes, we'll tell you who is putting out their memoirs. Also, since we're talking about Soulja Boy this morning, let's give you an update on Soulja Boy. He was on Twitter. This is not just an interpretation. I'm reporting what he actually said. And he's still going in.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Soulja Boy is now explaining himself. Okay, he went on Twitter yesterday. He said, I killed the N-word and beat the case.
Oh, God.
Self-defense. Ain't no snitching. He got smoked. Facts. I'm not the hardest N-word in the world, but I ain't no bitch. Facts. Don't judge me if you don't know the full story behind this ish, deeper than a rap.
Facts.
Then he said, when Quavo got his chain snatched in D.C., who he called? Me. Man, this ish lame. Real N-words know what's going on. I don't need a publicity stunt. I got more followers than them all combined. Yachty started with me. Shia started with me. F Quavo.
He really don't know whether he want to be Gucci Mane or Bernice Burgos. He starts it off by talking about killing a man in self-defense, but then still goes back to, I got more followers than y'all. Who gives a damn?
He said, F Quavo, if you got a problem, you got my address. We can fight one-on-one and put it on World Star. He also posted these videos addressing everything as well.
Quavo, I text you my address at 1 o'clock. I waited for you to 7 o'clock. We supposed to catch the fade one-on-one, put it on World Star. You never showed up. You know how the f*** on rocking. When you got the chain snatched in D.C., who the f*** when you call? You call Big Soldier. I got my chain snatched, bro. Don't be mad at me, bro. You got my address. Pull up. Quavo, I ain't squashing s***. And any got something to say about it, holler at me.
Wow. I cannot wait until they start arresting rappers for making those kind of threats online. That's very different than what he told me the other day on Twitter. On Twitter the other day, he said, I need an interview, big bro. You don't know the full story behind the beefs. Everything I do is legal. Call me, bro. I'll come to New York. No, nothing you doing sound legal, big soldier.
All right, well, he also had some words for Shia LaBeouf.
You was an actor. You was in Transformers. You was in Hoes. You was on a Disney Channel. You don't have no business with my name in your mouth. And he started it. You know what I'm saying? He dissed me first. He got bars. He can rap. I'm not saying that he can't rap. Like, he has a nice delivery. But when it comes to making hits and selling music, I do this. I've got platinum albums. I got a single that went diamond. Cranked that sold over 10 million copies. 5 million ringtones. Who is Shia LaBeouf, bro? You need to stick to acting, bro. This is not the lane you want to be in. When I drop my diss on, his career gonna be over. He ain't gonna never be able to make music again. He gonna be a joke to the industry.
Okay. Soldier, he's not a rapper. He can't end his rap career because Shia LaBeouf doesn't have a rap career. But Soldier's right. I like when Soldier talk like that. When he talk like that and he's talking about how many records are sold. Yeah, that's real. With all that
facts.
I'm Big Soldier. When did he become Big Soldier?
Well, 50 Cent tweeted out, I get all you N-words killed. F that. I dare you N-words touch him. Soldier, say whatever you want. N-words ain't going to do it.
That tweet was 6 years old.
Yeah, that was 6 years old tweet. That tweet was years old.
Soldier reposted it.
Yeah, that was old.
He was trying to scare somebody. That's all on Soldier Boy's timeline.
Yeah, he retweeted it. It was old.
Soldier was trying to scare somebody. Look, I got 50 of them now. Y'all don't want it with
2010.
Maybe get Big Brother.
That was old.
That was somebody fake like they got a gun. All right, now. Well, maybe go to the car.
Now, 6 hours ago, Soulja Boy also tweeted out, just had a sit-down meeting with T.I. I'm focusing on the music and my money. So maybe that's his way of saying, okay, forget all this beef stuff. Let me just focus. I'm sure that's what T.I. told him.
Somebody please whisper to Soulja Boy what the new thing to say is whenever you say something crazy and then get in trouble for it.
What's that?
He's mentally ill.
Stop
okay.
<it.
laughs> That's what he needs to say.
Stop
right
it.
Now.
All right, now there's a new memoir coming out, all right? Empire actress, and we know her from the movie Precious. Gabourey Sidibe has just finished writing her new memoir. She went on Twitter. She said, you guys, I wrote a book. The cover will be revealed.
In a cookbook?
Thursday. That's today. I'm freaking out. I'm so excited. I can't even deal. And then she started putting out some of the names of her ideas for titles before she revealed what her title for the book is. She had some titles that she rejected. She said, bitch, she thinks she's cute. Leggings as pants. In between naps. Sweatpants enthusiast. Part-time psychic. And shade in the summer. But she's going to talk about stories from her life, how she overcame depression, her family issues, and how she started rising to fame. And she said she's been writing since she was a child. And she's always had a lot of stories to tell that are too long, shady, and impolite to share in my interviews.
She honestly needs to name the book, which has to have something precious in the title or something like that. Only because that's what people
know her from.
Yeah, not know her from, because they know her from Empire and stuff. Now, she's gone on to have a great career, but that was they initially knew her from. It was at one point, that was the girl from Precious. Mm-hmm. That would be a good title, The Girl from Precious.
Mm.
Gabourey Sidibe presents.
Well, we don't know what the title is, but we're going to know today. Now, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, there were rumors yesterday that they're going to get divorced, but they squashed those rumors. They said that everything is fine, and they're saying that Kim has Kanye back at home. He's getting some much-needed rest. He's spending time with his kids. He's actually ready to start working again. They're saying that he actually was supposed to be on meds for psychological issues, but he stopped taking the prescribed doses, and that's when things started going left.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kanye feels like right now could be the time that he actually puts out some great music. According to sources, he's comparing that breakdown and stay in the hospital to his near-fatal car crash and his mother's death, and that's when he created some of his best work through The Wire and 808s after those things happened.
So he's trying to capitalize off his traumatic experiences, basically.
Or basically,
his pain.
Basically, he's feeling more creative now after something tragic happened, and that's his pattern. Maybe people throw themselves into the music as therapy, as a release. And that's what his plan is, because just like when people go through difficult things in life, sometimes some great music can come out of it.
Therapeutic for him.
By the way.
Kind of like Amy Winehouse's Back to Black or Toni Braxton when she had her album, or Mary mm-hmm. J. Blige, Bad Things Happen in Your Life. You put it in the music.
Right. Listen, by the way, it's Thursday, December 8th, 2016. The Life of Pablo is still my favorite rap album of the year. I still love The Life of Pablo. That is my number one rap album of the year.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got a special guest joining us. He's from Boston.
Yes.
He's a Patriots fan.
He's a Patriots fan.
He's a Red Sox fan.
Used to work at ESPN. He started the podcast network, Grantland. He had a show on HBO called Any Given Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He created 30 for 30. His name is Bill Simmons, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he'll be joining us when we come back. So don't go anywhere. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Usher No Limit. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
My guy, Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons, I didn't really want to talk to him because he's such a diehard Boston fan.
Boston fan.
What does that mean? What did I do?
Patriots.
Why can't we all get along?
He's a giant Yankee guy.
Yes, you
know
I am.
He don't know if you want to be a Yankee or Met.
I'm a Yankees fan. And a Giants fan.
You like the Yankees and the Mets? Are you one of those, like, every time something good happens with the New York baseball team, you like
it? I'm a Yankees fan. My dad worked near Yankee Stadium. But
you're from Queens.
So I'm a Yankees fan by heart, but I still root for the Mets.
I don't support that. That's like having two wives.
I agree.
That's how you like that big love show.
No.
And he's a Knicks fan also.
And I'm a Knicks fan. Right.
And he's coming here with Jets jerseys on, too, by the way.
The same thing happens with Chicago, with the Cubs and the White Sox. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that either. Mm-hmm. Some of the White Sox, it's great for Chicago if the Cubs fans. It's like, you should hate the Cubs.
Yeah, and it's not like having two wives. It's like being bisexual.
No.
Ooh, that's not what it is. Yes, it is.
It's like being bisexual sports fan.
It's bad. Every year I pick a different football team that I root for. Not just be like, this year this is a team that I like, just based off of my instinct.
Based off of your instinct?
It's some bull crap.
I don't even know what that means.
What? It is. This is based off of my instinct. Like, this year I like the Detroit Lions.
Oh, that was a good pick.
Yeah,
they're kind of an up-and-comer.
They're doing a lot better.
I think 2016's been so weird. I think this is the one year I could actually see the Lions making the Super Bowl.
Stop it. Not over my Cowboys.
Well, think of all the weird that's happened this year.
Yeah, like the Dallas Cowboys being 11-1.
The Cubs. True. Cleveland wins the title. Like,
so
Detroit
the Cowboys
is
are
the
like
natural
Trump.
Evolution. Are the Cowboys or the Kardashians?
The Cowboys are the Kardashians?
The Kardashians.
Break it down for me.
Okay. They get a ton of attention whether they're good or not.
That's true.
If they don't have talent, they're still in the headlines every week.
And we've been sucking for years,
right.
Like the Kardashians.
So this season, the Cowboys are actually good. It would be like if Kim Kardashian was in the Jackie movie or something.
So who's Kim Kardashian?
An Oscar nominee. Who's Jerry
shows
Jones?
Elliot shows his stomach a lot.
Nah,
though.
Jerry would be Kris Jenner.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Jerry's Kris.
Yeah.
So whoever the quarterback is probably
Dak,
Kim.
Baby.
Well, see, that's the thing. I really like Dak.
Okay.
Instinctively, I want to root against the Cowboys, but the last two quarterbacks you've had are both, like, very likable.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about football? I was watching a documentary the other day, and it was like, it's affecting kids so bad. You know, their brains are not fully grown. And
CTE!
It's really messing the kids up.
I don't understand how we have youth football. All the evidence we have so far is, like, if you get a concussion when your brain's not fully formed yet, if you're under 15... It's terrible. And if you get two, like, you're for life, basically.
Well, you know what they even said? They said it's crazy because in the NFL, they don't hit each other during practice. There's no full hitting. But in youth football, they hit four times a week, five times a week. They said even in high school, they only hit twice a week. So why are they having these kids hitting 7, 8, 9, 10?
I don't understand. I have a 9-year-old son who's built like a tank, who's like all muscle. He doesn't want to play football. Mm-hmm.
What does he want to do?
He actually wants to be a professional wrestler, which is probably worse. He's doing, like, cannonballs off our couch and stuff. But
would you not want him to play football?
I don't want him to play football. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think every parent's different, and it probably depends on where you are in the country, you know? And I think where football goes is probably a little bit like boxing. You know, in boxing, all of a sudden, it became not cool anymore. Boxing mm-hmm. was, like, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. It was, like, a great way out for anyone who was poor. And then eventually, it became really something that was geared more toward the minorities when you look at what happened in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and foreigners and people like that. And I think with football, it's going to have its little bases, right? Texas, they're always going to play football. Mm-hmm. It's part of the culture. Like, they'll spend $60 million on a high school football stadium mm-hmm. in Texas. Florida, Pennsylvania, anywhere in the South.
Yeah.
So there's going to be pockets, but I honestly think it's going to be like the election. Move out toward the red states. I don't think they give a shit.
Poverty has a lot to do with it, too, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you think your kid can get you out the hood by running that ball, you're like, go play football.
But let's say you're a 9-year-old kid, I don't know, the outskirts of Dallas. Mm-hmm. You have no money, and you're a great athlete. I would want to play basketball. I look at hoops. I'm like, you have a 20-year career. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to have head injuries.
What if I ain't got no jump shot, though?
Yeah, a little basketball, a little more
difficult. But that would be my first pick. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you look at it, you go, all right, baseball would be great. That's another one. But football would be like my third pick. The thing is, like,
those contracts aren't guaranteed, and it's a short life.
That's right. Crazy.
Football, like in that field.
Hey, somebody had this analogy about running backs and porn stars. Like,
what?
Porn
down,
stars
Bill.
Only have so many movies. And then after that, they're getting a little gamey.
Yeah.
Running backs, same thing. Like, you have how many carries you have? 2,000?
Yeah.
And you get a little
Six
gamey.
Six good seasons at the most.
Six good seasons.
Yeah.
So if you're Zeke Elliott, you could have played every sport. You're looking at a career where you're under a rookie contract the first 4 years. You're taking a ton of punishment. Mm-hmm. You sign that 1 second contract, mm-hmm. like what Arian Foster did, or like Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. Gronkowski's 7 years. He's had like 8 surgeries now.
Hey.
You know? And he's somebody that could have probably played any sport. But now he's had 3 back surgeries. He blew out his knee. He had a high ankle sprain.
Right.
He broke his forearm twice. Like, how many years is that guy going to play? He might be done before he's 30.
I'm shocked to hear that you care about players getting hurt, because I saw you tweet out about Klay Thompson. He went for 60.
No, that was
kept
stupid.
Him in for history's sake
whack,
or something.
Though. They should have kept him in. I thought so, too.
No, it's basketball. You go for it.
But they worried about him getting hurt, probably.
How's he going to get hurt? He's shooting threes. They're up by 38 points.
Anything could happen.
People are trying to compare it to, like, the Warriors going for 73 wins last year. It's totally different. That was a situation where you're playing back-to-back games, mm-hmm. you're playing 4 games in 5 nights, you're putting miles on your team that you don't have to. Klay Thompson is like, just go out, play for 5 more minutes, get to 70.
I'm with you.
Selfishness. I spent 3 years writing a basketball book. You look at those lists, and those lists are forever. Like, David Thompson, 73 points. Right. Pete Maravich, 68.
Go down in the books.
Kobe, 81. I was mad, like, 3 weeks before Kobe got 81. He had 62 against the Mavs after 3 quarters. And I actually wrote a column for ESPN Magazine. I was like, what the fuck? Like, you're going to have 5 nights like that in your life. Stay out there. See what you can get. And then he actually did it. Everybody remembers the 81. They had 10-year anniversary. Oral histories. You know, a short film about it.
Right. Jalen Rose can't live it down.
Jalen Rose, he stuck with it for his whole life. You guys asked him about that when he was on.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
You know what? He's got an awesome sense of humor about that, because Jalen always says that, you know, he was never the greatest defensive specialist. That's my dude, though.
Nah, Jalen.
You guys
was
were nice to him. I watched that whole interview.
We're nice. I mean, we just have conversations with people,
man. Yeah.
Well, no, he's good. Odell Beckham Jr.
Think he's gay?
I'll tell you.
I wasn't talking about that.
What do you mean?
I was talking about
skill level. Like,
oh, I'm sorry. My bad. My fault. I didn't know.
See, I love Odell. What's interesting is all the kids love Odell, mm-hmm. and they don't have a lot of football players like that.
That's because he's fun. He's always like dancing. He hangs out with Drake. He has a good time.
He's nice. He's good. Don't just say because he's
dance. No, I'm saying
he's
in really general,
happy.
Though,
that's what I meant by gay. Happy.
Love him.
You know, he's good. He gets
he's
big.
Gay like in the 1930s.
Yeah,
sense.
Really happy guy.
He's euphoric. You know what?
Gay go lucky.
With the. With the kids, though, they love the one-handed.
Right.
The one-handed catches. So right. they'll be in, like, the, you know, recess trying to, oh, I'm going to do it. My son does it all the time. Let me try to get the Odell.
All right, we got more with Bill Simmons when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Drake Controlo. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Bill Simmons in the building. Now, Yee.
What do you think about athletes having political views on things and taking a stand? You think that that doesn't belong?
I love it. I totally supported what Kaepernick did. The problem with Kaepernick is the more he said and did, the more it made you go, I don't know if this guy has a master plan. Like, the fact that he didn't vote, I thought was really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to position yourself as this kind of 2016 version of John Carlos and Tommy Smith, and you're doing stuff with the big picture in mind and all that stuff, how do you then say, I'm sitting out the election, my vote doesn't matter?
He was anti-government and anti-establishment from the beginning, though. I thought it would have been weird if, like, you know, one of the candidates was, like, had a big police reform policy that they was going to implement and was talking about it, and if he didn't vote for that, then I'd have been like, okay, that's a little strange. But just to sit out because he don't believe in the government, I didn't have a problem with
it. What do you guys think of how LeBron handles stuff? Like, I thought what he did with Trayvon Martin and the hoodies and the Miami team, I thought that was really important
that was
and effective.
I thought that was dope.
Last night he didn't stay at the Trump Hotel here in New York.
He's subtly...
Sometimes he
does. I at least feel like he's thinking about it.
Right. More and more and more.
Jordan was always like, I'm not doing anything that messes with my sales.
Right.
I want to appeal to everybody. I don't want anyone to know what I'm thinking.
But Jordan wasn't in the social media era.
No, he
social
wasn't.
Social media era put pressure on you to, you know,
I think LeBron has done things. A lot of things that defy what people normally do, like NBA players, as far as the people around him and his team.
I agree.
And it's been working for him.
LeBron has handled it as well as anyone could have possibly handled it. Because when you think about it, he's basically a child actor. He's basically the same forces going against him that like Screech did and Britney Spears and all these people. Like,
didn't work out too well with Screech.
Right. And it goes wrong. Michael Jackson. It goes Britney. Wrong a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, LeBron was famous from the moment he was 16 years old.
Right.
And he was this poor kid who was sleeping on couches when he was 8 years old and didn't have like a great family infrastructure. And he was like always very tight with his buddies. And it was
his
circle.
Posse?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. But he had his boys, and those were his boys, and that was right. Like that became his family. But when you think of all the shit that got thrown on him, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, playing high school games on ESPN. People are giving him homers.
Yeah.
He's got all these people coming at him trying to give him money, and then he goes into the NBA right away. He's really good, and then just the arc of his career, I think he's handled it great.
I think it's because he embraced the hate. Like, he didn't fight against it. Like, sometimes you just gotta own it.
He did fight against it for like 4 months. Remember that first Miami season? He was playing, he had this anger about him that wasn't him. So I think he had a lot of trouble. And I think the Warriors, you've seen it this year a little bit, I think they're having trouble when you go from being this beloved team that's league pass, Curry's catching fire, and everybody's on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like the wrestling villain. You know, Draymond loves it. He's meant to do that.
Yeah.
But I think like somebody like Steph Curry, I'm sure he's a little bit like, what happened when everybody loved me?
Now, I see you and Charlamagne have a lot in common. He gets threatened a lot. And you got threatened by Isaiah Thomas, the legend.
I did.
Now, Isaiah threatened you?
Why did he threaten you?
On Stephen A. Smith show like 10 years ago.
When I see you, it's on.
Yeah, so I used to make fun of him as the Knicks GM, and rightly so, because he was doing really strange
stuff. He was horrible. He made some bad moves.
Did you ever ask him if he was gay?
Isaiah Thomas? No. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why do you want to ask everybody if they're gay?
I'm just asking. Isaiah was kind of like Odell before Odell. Everybody was like, is he not?
Seriously?
Come on, Bill. You remember.
He kissed a lot of people on the cheek.
Him and Magic were kissing each other on the cheeks. I'm sure that probably didn't help. He said on Stephen A. that if he ever saw him in the street, we'd be in trouble. And then 2 years later.
He saw him in the street.
No, I saw him in Vegas. I was playing blackjack at one of those European places where you're outdoors, you're by the pool, and it's like the girls can be naked, but it's never anybody you want to see naked.
What rich privileged place is this?
There's naked people playing cards.
Well, they're topless. No, you have like the blackjack table here, and then the pool is over there, and just like people are topless, like all European. But
I think you could do that at the Mandalay Bay.
You can do it at a bunch of them.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that. But
okay, so what happened? You and Isaiah had some prostitutes.
No, I ran into Gus Johnson.
Okay,
remember Gus Johnson, the announcer?
Oh,
he's still there. He did the Fox game on Sunday.
Yep.
And he came over. He's all somber, Gus Johnson, like not the Gus Johnson you want. He's like, "Hey man, Isaiah's over there. You know, he wants to talk to you." I'm like, "All right." Get up from my blackjack table. We go. We have this meeting by this topless pool. I wrote about it in my book. We kind of broke bread. He laid out, like, I get it. I'm a public figure. I disagreed. And he remembered, like, everything I wrote, which I thought was weird.
Did you ever think y'all was going to fight?
No.
And I'm
he would have won. He's taller than I am, and he's probably, and, you know, he's a professional athlete. I think he would have kicked my ass.
So he knew everything that you wrote. So that means he was.
He knew it. I was surprised by how much he paid attention to it. And
so
he was like
really
explaining. What was interesting was, as he was explaining it, he was kind of winning me over. He's like, the whole league's going small. So I thought when I got Eddie Curry and Zach Randolph, I'd go big. And I'm like, yeah, Isaiah, that's pretty good. And then afterwards, I'm like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. But when somebody's explaining that to you in the moment, you're like, oh, all right, maybe.
It made sense.
But yeah, I think I had better odds than you in the 5-on-1.
With Isaiah?
When you got jumped.
Yeah, you probably did.
Yeah. 1-on-1, I mean, I might have been able to get lucky.
You could have got one lucky hit.
5-on-1, like he said, that's way worse.
You got to get the hell out of the Dodge.
Yeah,
5-on-1.
Did you guys think when Birdman was in here, did you think that was going to get physical?
You never know. That's why when you said the story about Isaiah, I'm thinking, I wonder if at any point in mind, did he think Isaiah may fight me?
That was your Birdman moment.
With hip-hop, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
No, listen, there will never be another Birdman moment like that. That is like the greatest 3 minutes on YouTube. It's incredible. He's mad before the cameras are even on.
He was mad out there. We seen him mad.
Did you guys feel like he was going to jump over the table with you?
Nah,
I didn't really think that.
He was sitting right here, right?
Yeah, he was sitting right there.
Birdman is older than you, bro.
No, but he was angry.
He was very
angry. You never had somebody like that angry.
Very upset.
What was
that
exactly?
That was like the Jim Everett, Chris Rome moment, yep.
Yeah, but that was...
Not Jim Everett, Jim Rome, Chris Rome.
Jim Rome.
Yeah, we was
Jim
dyslexic
Rome, Jim
with
Everett.
It. Yeah.
Jim Rome, there was this Rams quarterback, and he wasn't very good, and Jim Rome always called him Chris Everett, like the tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
So he came on a show, and Jim Everett's like, I bet you won't call me Chris. And Jim's like, Chris. Oh. And the guy flipped the table and like grabbed him and knocked him down.
Really?
Why? Yeah, it was on ESPN. It's great.
I'm gonna get one of those.
I gotta look that up.
I can't wait for that.
Well, this is close.
I know.
He's in good shape over there.
Good.
And they bet he has to walk by the cameraman.
I'm gonna save that one for next year.
Why was Birdman so mad though?
Charlamagne said that if you're an artist, you're stupid to sign with him because you're not gonna get paid to make any money.
He's got a history.
Isn't that true though?
Yeah, he's got a history. Exactly. He's got a history.
I thought he's like the most famous. Like people never get paid.
He's up there.
He might be up there.
What's like
I hope
the
you
power?
Don't run into him on the street.
Yeah, I don't want to run. Yeah, I'm sorry, Birdman. No, you pay everybody.
They don't assault white people.
They don't,
no, just, no, they wouldn't.
Have you
them.
Ever been threatened by anybody else? Like, has it ever?
I mean,
ever,
on social media and emails and stuff
media.
Like that.
But I mean, like an
internet.
Athlete. Do they get upset about things that you say ever, or they just take it on the chin?
I'm sure they have. I've definitely run into people where
it's a little tense.
It's more coaches, the GMs and people like that, like the people that run the teams. Because I always love making fun of the people that run the teams who make bad decisions. But sports, people have a good sense of humor about it. I think when it gets tense, it's usually athlete versus athlete, like Odell and Josh Norman last year, which would be like a 30 for 30 episode.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, that
I don't
great.
Know. I've heard so many different explanations and stories.
Did
for
you
know
the lovers quarrel?
Shut That's up. A- Love those damn lovers quarrel.
You created 30 for 30, right?
I did.
That was your idea?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was 2007. Now we're on pace to do like 90 of them.
All right, we got more with Bill Simmons when we come back. Keep it locked. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me.
That was slow motion. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Bill Simmons in the building now, Charlamagne.
You're the type of person that people love to see lose, right?
Yeah.
And I noticed that after your HBO show got canceled, they had articles like, top 10 reasons why Bill Simmons' show flopped, and Bill Simmons has a weaker voice.
You were on
now.
That show. You were good.
I was. I thought it was a great show. But
Thanks.
Why think people just wanted to see you fail so bad?
I think isn't that part of all this stuff? Like when you have some success with anything, I think at some point people are like, this guy.
They want to see you fail, and then they want to see you succeed again.
Right. Yeah, it's like, whatever. I mean, my whole attitude is I'm really glad I tried it. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot. I would do 100 things differently. But it's on to the next one, you know? It's like, then I have a 40-year career. You're not going to do everything perfectly.
Right. You're still there, though. Like, you still got to...
Yeah. I'm just got to figure out the next thing. The thing for me is I really want to do an interview show. And, you know, that's what I was passionate about. And we did some stuff on that show that I thought was really cool. I don't know if it should have been every week, but, like, we had Nas and Durant together for a half hour. It was awesome. Like, I love that.
Gladwell and Cuban.
I think there was a show that would have worked within what we did, what we had, but it was just too late. Once you stumble, it's really hard to get it back. It's almost like a football season, like Carolina.
How's your relationship with ESPN now?
You know,
wasn't a pretty breakup.
No, it was not.
But they have to have some type of, like, you were there for so long. You
they
created
got a lot of respect,
so much
I'm
for
sure.
them. You brought a lot to ESPN. So I would think that at least there was some type of
it wasn't. It's
respect.
Not great. I It's really not a relationship, but I don't think it's as acrimonious as it was. Some really weird shit happened the last couple of years, you know? I guess, like, when you have some distance from it and you look back, you're like, oh, I understand why that happened. But in the moment, you know, you take something like when they got rid of Wilbon. I was on the NBA show with Wilbon, Jalen, and Magic, and we all liked each other. And they got rid of Wilbon because for a couple reasons, but mainly because the PTI ratings were going down and they felt like he was too split between the two shows. And PTI is their biggest show. Mm-hmm. And Magic took it really personally. And Magic was owning the Dodgers at that point. Magic's like a billionaire. He was like, fuck it, I don't want to do this.
Magic went one-on-one with HIV and won.
Yeah. And Magic is one of the greatest people I've ever been around day to day. But when he left, some people in Bristol tried to plant that I was the reason. Like, I was in Magic. Magic was a power struggle between. I'm like, where the fuck is this coming from? So when stuff like that happens and you're working for a company and they're planning stuff to make you look bad, that's when I was like, man, this is...
I will say 90%...
This is not a good place.
90% of the negative stuff I hear about Bill Simmons comes from people from ESPN. Like, they say you were difficult. And
All I did was try to do good for them, you know? And, like, you look at Grantland and 30 for 30 and all these different places that I work for, and everybody got along great. Like, even my TV show, you know. Hey, it's weird. ESPN is a place that they never want anybody to get their own little fiefdom of power, basically.
Gotcha.
Fiefdom. They want. They always want the brand.
Fiefdom, a tribe called Quest.
Fiefdom, I know. They want the brand to win. And I do think I hit a point there when I had Grantland and 30 for 30 going at the same time. I was on the NBA show. I had definitely a lot of power. And I was in LA. People in Bristol are like, this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
So they didn't want anybody to be bigger than the brand of ESPN, basically.
Yeah, and by the way, nobody's going to be bigger than the brand. The brand's an $8 billion brand. Right. You know, and what's wrong with... it's weird because they operate a little bit like how the NFL operates. NFL doesn't want any player basically to have any identity whatsoever. Like, you take your helmet off after a touchdown, it's a penalty. Yeah, you celebrate after a touchdown, you get a penalty. Like, there's this coded racism to it that I think is really f***ed up.
Coded racism?
Yeah.
Okay, break it down.
Why do they care so much about how people behave after they've succeeded in a football game? What is that?
Gotcha.
Like, why can't I
celebrate black people going to dance.
Like,
you know we're going to show out.
You know, I think it would be white people too, but just in general, like, there's an expressiveness, and I think it's one of the reasons that people have responded to the NBA so much, because the NBA has always blended, for better and worse, black culture and sports. Mm-hmm. And it's been, race has been the most fascinating thing about the NBA since the 1950s, when they only allowed, like, one black guy per team. Like, they had all these rules, and Russell comes in, he makes it horizontal, Wilt comes in, Oscar. The attitude in the 60s and 70s is basically like, oh my God, the black guys are taking over the NBA. And you saw it with the TV ratings. And you read these stories. There's some f***ed up stories.
The NBA did have one moment.
What? A couple.
One moment when they pushed back. And that was the AI era.
Yeah, Allen Iverson.
They definitely. So that's the 90s. But if you go.
Jordan with the shoes. Remember, they didn't want them to wear certain color shoes. They fined them with the shoes. And AI with the hair and with the jewelry.
There's this amazing story at Sports Illustrated in the late 70s where the ratings are going down in the NBA. And they're trying to figure it out. And the whole premise of the story is the NBA is too black. Mm. What do we do? In the mid-90s, which had a lot to do with the hip-hop era and just the expressiveness of that, and the league's like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, look at these haircuts these guys have. Look at the way they're dressed when they don't play.
Corals and tattoos.
Oh, my God. Allen Iverson was the scariest thing that happened in the league.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, this is, what is this? How do we sell this? We need, like, somebody like Magic who appeals to everybody. Right.
That story you just told shows how ridiculous racism is, though, because if you think about it, imagine what the NBA would be now without black people. So at one point, somebody wrote an article saying that it was a problem because there was so many black people in the NBA.
I mean, they really did think it was a problem.
Yeah.
And it probably was to some degree. You're talking about 40 years ago, and I think America was a lot more racist probably in the late 70s than it was now. But
now, what do you say to people who say you don't translate the TV well?
They might be right. My show just got canceled.
You know, the podcast is great. You're a great writer.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stupid stuff that I would do over again, but, you know, that's life.
Right.
You know, when you guys did the Breakfast Club the first year.
Oh, it's terrible.
I'm sure you would have loved
it. We almost got canceled.
We almost got fired. No, seriously.
We might have been one show away.
Ray J saved us. You know Ray J?
Do I know Ray J?
You did coke with Ray J before?
Huh? Ray J is the Kim Kardashian sex tape.
That's how
I know Ray J. The worst sex tape anyone's ever made. He's like, is that a leg? What is that? Oh, is that?
That's what he did for us, man. Thank God.
So what did he do when he came up?
He was drunk and high as hell. He was on coke and all kind of stuff. He called the radio one morning and just went in on a rant to a rapper named Fabulous.
We put him on live.
And it was amazing.
He said he wouldn't curse. And then the first thing he said was, like,
he told Fabulous, I got goons that will turn you around and rape you in your booty.
That's strong.
Ratings gold.
Isaiah Thomas didn't say that to me. But you guys hit a good spot on this show, and I don't know when it happened because I've only lived
can't
through
go
this show.
About guys getting raped and saying hit a good spot. That's just Bill.
I just did it.
Okay.
I've only experienced the show through video and YouTube and stuff like that, but I like that you're in that Howard Stern zone of you can just say whatever you want and people don't go nuts or, oh, I can't believe it. Like,
Bill,
somehow
you just talked about five guys trying
line.
To jump me outside the station, Bill.
Well, I'm not talking about your physical safety. I'm saying you could have a guest on and the guest comes in and the guest knows everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a really hard place to get to.
Except Birdman didn't know.
Well, Birdman, but that's why he left. Because he knew everything was on the table.
I think people also know the show is syndicated in, you know, 50 markets in the morning, so it's a lot of exposure. So you kind of want to do it, even if
right,
you know,
and you kind of accept the deal.
Right.
Because, like, this show, Stern, there's a couple others where the guest comes on and they're just like, I'm here. I know they're going to bring shit up.
It's a great sweet spot.
I can't hide it, and it's a really hard place to get to. You made up with a bunch of people. Who haven't you made up with, Charlamagne?
I've made up with...
Who's your biggest feud right now?
Drake. Drake is the only person.
Jake's in him battles.
Drake's
only
a good dude.
Yeah. Everybody else, nah, still open.
I did,
pretty much.
We did, Drake did Countdown, and then we did an ESPYs thing. We actually shot an ESPYs.
I
piece together.
Yeah.
When I saw him at the ESPYs party, somebody was, whatever, we were all standing around in some circle, and Drake was there, and I'm like, hey, Drake, do you know Bill Simmons? And Drake gave me one of these. I was really happy. Came in high and gave me the hug. I was like, all right, I'm in with Drake. This is nice.
Yeah, that's that, you my guy. Oh,
yeah, it was great. I was excited for that.
As Bill Simmons, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Lee Daniels stopped by The Real because, you know, he has his show Star that's going to be premiering. And that show actually premieres on December 14th on Fox for everybody interested in watching. Now, he goes on The Real and he explains why he decided to cast a white woman as the lead character. He said he feels like the country needed to heal. Here's what else he had to say.
I wouldn't be where I was if I embraced racism. If I embraced it, then it became real. And if it became real, I would be an angry black man.
He said, I think this white girl is so fabulous that black people will embrace her and white people will embrace her. So the show is set in Atlanta. It centers around three girls who are coming together to form a band and all the drama.
Well, racism is real whether you embrace it or not.
Yeah, I don't think anyone embraces racism, but you know that it exists.
Yeah, like I know some people who don't use condoms because they feel like they can't get STDs, but that don't mean that, you know, if that girl got gonorrhea, you're not going to get that clap.
Right. So it's a...
He needs to explain that a little bit more. You can't leave that up to interpretation because all I saw was people calling him a coon and an Uncle Tom. I need to know exactly what he meant when he said that. Is he saying that he put a white girl as the lead to show that, I guess,
it's both
people
sides.
Still get along? I don't know.
I don't know.
That is way of uniting.
Well, he also said he wanted to incorporate some of the social issues like racial inequality and criminal injustice that affects America into the show. He said it was before our president-elect was in, so I felt that we were at civil war. Black boys are being shot, and I didn't understand, so I wanted to explore politics, as I do with most of my work, what's going on right now in America.
What's that got to do with casting the white woman as the lead, though?
I don't know.
Sounds
I was
weird.
Confused.
You got to explain.
Because I watched it and I definitely was a little bit confused about what he's trying to say.
You got
to
be specific nowadays, people. Every word means something.
Now, the show star is Queen Latifah is playing the owner of a beauty salon. She's going to be like the den mother for the group of the band of girls.
The madam.
Naomi Campbell's in it.
The madam for the whole.
And so, yeah. All right, now let's get into Young Thug. He was supposed to perform somewhere, and due to some issues at the airport, he missed his flight. Here's what he had to say.
Seattle, Washington, man. Unfortunately, I can't make my show because I got into a little altercation in the airport with two civilians and wasn't able to get on my flight, catch my flight. And they had no later flight. And my jet couldn't get to me in time to make the show. So I got an off day on the 12th. I'm gonna change today's date to the 12th. Make sure all my fans get that sellout the same way you did tonight. I'm gonna turn up and I'm gonna pop an extra another hour, you know what I'm saying? Just for my fans, I'm so sorry.
Right, so he'll be there on the 12th. He couldn't make it. But then he posted this video going in on the women behind the counter. It was two black women that he feels like caused him to miss his flight. And here's the video.
These two ants are so rude. They peasants. They saying they manager on the way. I don't want to talk to the manager. Y'all ants. Your manager peasant. Y'all ants. I give y'all bomb that whole 15,000 apiece to quit your job. I'm getting you bombs one more chance. Look at get their hair. Sink in on the hair. They have that as a mother. I'm glad you turned around. Look at the donkey.
He's
now,
crazy.
Now, this is the first time I'm hearing that, and my whole time was filled with people like, see, Young Thug don't like black women like you. Look at him. He's calling them nappy-headed. Out of all of that he said, talking about them women, talking down on them, calling
ants,
them ants and peasants, that's what y'all focused on? The nappy head comment?
Mm.
What if their hair really was nappy?
It wasn't, by the way.
Oh, I didn't see
the
video.
I looked at the video footage of it.
But
One of them had a cute bun.
I'd be more pissed off that he's talking down on people. I always tell people, man, if you want to see the true character of a person, watch how they treat people that can't do anything for them. Like, you don't talk down on people just because you can.
And he posted, by the way, that message wasn't to all my black women. It was to those two black burnt women.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
He tweeted that.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. You on your own, Thug.
I cannot
go along with anything. You're on your own with that one. I didn't
that
know
you have
said
to
all
say.
That. Okay, you're on your own.
I don't know what happened for him to act so disrespectfully and rude, but I can't imagine any situation that it would be called for to speak to them.
It's pointless to act like that with airplane attendants. It's not like they're flying the planes. They can't hold the plane for you. If you miss your flight or if it's raining or the flight's delayed, there's nothing they can do about it.
They were actually behind the counter. They weren't even on the plane. They had nothing to do. I don't know what happened.
There's nothing they can do about it.
And he took out $15,000
and
put it on and said he would pay them to quit.
I wanted to curse the lady out around Thanksgiving. We sitting at the airport, and flight was going to Charleston, South Carolina, and they put up on the board that it was delayed till 11:30, so we sitting there. About 15 minutes later, I go up to the counter, and she's like, the plane's boarded. I'm like, it was boarded. Like, y'all didn't announce that it was boarded. Now, I was sitting there the whole time. Me, it's like, and it was like 10 of us that missed the flight, right?
Really?
All what? Of us, that
yes,
sounds crazy.
Literally. It was like 10 of us. I think the flight held like 102. 92 people got on the plane. So her thing was, well, 92 other people knew that it was boarding. I'm like, you think it's 10 people here all saying the same thing? Like, you think we just sat here and just missed the flight on purpose?
You need to pay attention, Charlamagne.
I was sitting, shut up. I wanted to yell at her, but first of all, I don't talk down to people. And number two, it's like, what was the point? You missed it already.
Now we got to figure out how can we work this out.
No, you know what I said? I said, is this any way to treat a most sad customer? JetBlue.
What they say? Right.
I actually,
it gave me more points.
Oh, okay.
I actually met somebody last night who works at JetBlue, and they were like, yeah, we see Charlamagne. You be flying on JetBlue, too.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
She told me to shout her out.
I can't remember her name. Mm.
Exactly, and by the way, shout out to Baby Jake. He actually got on the honor roll. He just hit me up. That's our young friend, Baby Jake, from Jersey. He said he got all A's and B's.
He said you be ignoring him, man. I spoke to Baby Jake. He said you be ignoring him now.
You changed up on him.
Now that you got a dog, you changed up on him now.
Yeah, Baby Jake used to be your fake child. Now
right,
you got
everywhere
a dog,
on him
you
now.
Don't think about Baby Jake.
Not at all.
Salute to Baby Jake. That's my little guy. How old Baby Jake is now? 12?
Nah, he's like at least 14.
14?
Well, no, 12. 14, he's 12,
going
13.
On 35?
No, he's my son's age. He's 12. So.
He's very grown acting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne!
Yes.
Who you giving that donkey to?
Listen, man, yet another reason why the illegal distribution of drugs shouldn't go digital. We'll talk about it for after the hour.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yee-haw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Ah, Lord have mercy. I just had my first sip of apple juice for the morning. Jesus Christ, that was amazing. Man, drop on a Clues bomb for apple juice. I gotta take another sip before I start home.
You all right over there?
Hey, now.
Yeah, don't drink it like that.
Donkey today for Thursday, December 8th, goes to Terry Brown, Kenneth White, and the 20 other goons who were arrested in Huntsville, Alabama recently after their trap house got raided. Now, I know you're thinking, Charlamagne, bandos get raided every day, B. In fact, you're probably sitting in one right now listening to The Breakfast Club, smoking a blunt, paranoid as hell. Salute to all the drug dealers who listen to The Breakfast Club. We appreciate your support. Now, the reason these brothers' house got raided warms my heart. It warms my heart because I can't stand to see gigabyte goons. What I mean when I say gigabyte goons is I can't stand to see, you know, you real street N-words on social media, okay? I know Trap Boys got smartphones too, but I grew up in an era where you absolutely, positively, under no circumstances, talk about any street stuff on the phone. In fact, D-Boys now won't talk on the phone, but for some reason, they think it's safe to text, tweet, IG, Snapchat, put their crimes on Facebook. Why people think law enforcement don't have social media, I will never know, but at this point, the FBI and DEA might as well just, you know, well, FBI might as well just stand for Facebook and Instagram. Okay, in fact, these law enforcement divisions should add you as a friend as soon as you post something incriminating online, okay, just so you know they coming. Can you imagine getting that FBI just followed you notification? Or that DEA just added you as a friend? Lord have mercy, cancel Christmas. But you dudes committing crimes on these platforms is making it so easy for law enforcement to do their jobs. And now Kenneth White, Terry Brown, and the other 20 members of the crew, they were all sitting around the dope house. They had all their guns with them. They didn't decide to do a rap video. No rap video with a bunch of guns in the dope house. That's so early 2000s. It's almost 2017. These goons had another bright idea to make that illegal distribution go digital. They decided to do a mannequin challenge. That's right.
a mannequin challenge, but not just any mannequin challenge. Okay, they decided to depict a drive-by shooting. And the video, which was posted on Facebook in early November, it shows a bunch of dudes pointing guns at each other, all in frozen positions. Madison County Sheriff's Office Captain Mike Salmanoski, I think you pronounce his name, he said the video prompted investigators to begin gathering evidence, and by evidence, they mean to share the YouTube link around the office. And then they secured a warrant after watching the video. They went to kick the doors off the hinges, and they found two handguns, a rifle, and a shotgun, along with marijuana and ammunition. Now, they arrested Kenneth White, 49. And Terry Brown, 23. Kenneth, you almost 50, and you still in the street committing crimes and doing mannequin challenges and posting them on social media. That's why the young boys don't know no better, because the OGs don't know no better. The most hilarious thing to me in this video is that it was 22 people, right? All of them had guns, but only two people got arrested, and they only found four guns. So if you do the thug math, it's 20 more people out there that didn't get arrested and 18 guns that still need to be confiscated, which means somebody had to call all these goons over to do a mannequin challenge. Now, usually when you round up 20 goons, you probably going to the club. When you round up 20 goons and tell them bring their guns, you going to war. Well, at least the way it used to be. Now when you call 20 goons over, it's to do the mannequin challenge. Imagine that phone call. Hey, bro, come through. Bring your gun, bro. It's going down. Because, look, man, I'm telling you, we about to take these niggas out, dog. I'm telling you who they think they playing with. Bring your gun, bro. Our mannequin challenge is going to stop everything. Life as we know it has turned into a dramedy, ladies and gentlemen. What happened in Huntsville, Alabama, seems like something that would happen on Donald Glover's TV show, Atlanta. All you thugs, goons, D-boys out there, don't go chasing Instagram likes and YouTube views. Just stick to the cocaine selling and drive-by shootings that you're used to. Please give Terry Brown, Kenneth White, and the other 20 goons who got arrested for doing the mannequin challenge in Huntsville, Alabama, the biggest hee-haw, please. And investigators say they're still investigating, which means they're still looking at the YouTube link, looking at the YouTube video, trying to identify who's who on there so they can come lock your ass up.
Okay.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
I saw all of that all over Instagram yesterday, the mannequin challenge that they were doing.
I thought it was creative.
What?
What's creative about it? I've just seen about 100 mannequin challenges with people pointing guns at each other.
Did you?
Yes.
I haven't seen that, man.
Acting like they...
Has the mannequin challenge jumped the shark yet?
Man, I ain't been jumped the shark.
That's when it makes sure.
I'm eating my egg white omelet.
I can tell.
It's finished.
All right.
It's hard to focus when I'm hungry. I'm sorry, people.
Oh, thank you for
just
that, donkey.
Just staring at this beautiful omelet.
Of the day.
I had to bite it.
Okay. All right. Now, up next is Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you need advice, relationship advice, you can call her right now. 800-585-1051. She'll help you with all your problems.
And you can always email me as well. helpmeyee@gmail.com. I was responding to some of those yesterday. And we also are responding to them on our Facebook page as well, Facebook Live. For Breakfast Club.
Oh, my God. Somebody just tweeted me and said, but it was the best mannequin challenge, though. Like, that matters. Like, that's going to cut some of that time down for you. Oh, God.
Envy, you can finish. You don't have to freeze.
Oh, okay. It's the Breakfast Club. Gosh. Good morning. That girl is... That was Fabulous into you. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy.
And Tamia.
Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. That was Fab's joint. She was just... featured on it.
Yeah, she did a great job on that song.
She did. That's all right.
Why you hating on Tamia, bro?
I'm not hating on Tamia.
Well, oh, she got Grant Hill, but still.
All right.
Tamia had other records, though?
Yeah.
Name three.
You Put a Move on My Heart. That was my song, too.
Sing that.
I'm not going to sing it.
It don't matter, though. She married Grant Hill. Grant Hill's a multi-millionaire. She has some kids.
Stranger in My House. Yes, that was a popping song.
She lived a good life.
Yes, she did.
Drop on the Clues Bombs with Tamia. Did she come to the Breakfast Club?
Yeah, she did. I like that. She's really sweet.
She is. All right, well, let's get into Ask Yee. Let's go to line one. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. This is Nylan.
Hey, Nylan. What's your question for Yeezy?
So, question. I've been dating this guy for about 6 months, and he wants to move over. I'm from another state. I was wondering, you know, what you guys think about it and if it's a good idea.
You're asking us, right? But do you think it's a good idea?
I do think it's a good idea, but I'm a cynic, so everything to me...
You're talking yourself out of something that you want to do.
Right.
For no reason. He hasn't done anything wrong. You said he's awesome.
He's awesome. I'm a student. He worked. So he knows I really can't
compute. I'm so confused. So you're calling to... you want us to talk you out of doing something that you want to do?
No, I just need like a neutral point of view.
What is your gut instinct telling you about him?
Oh, that he's awesome.
Okay. Now, it was his idea to move in with you, or did you both mutually discuss this?
Oh, we both mutually discussed it.
So you want to do it. I don't understand. Why do you hold yourself back from doing something that you want to do? Let me tell you something. In life, you make decisions, right? And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. There's no real answer on what's going to happen in the future. But if you feel like it's something that you enjoy, that you want to do, I don't know why we restrict ourselves. Has he done something that makes you not trust him or feel like he's not a good person?
Not at all.
So why are you punishing him?
Baby, if you want to give him oral sex, okay?
And
I don't like it, actually, and that's another reason why I love him.
Gay!
Yeah.
Gay!
He likes it because he doesn't like it?
He does not like it. He said he just doesn't enjoy it. He said
all right, he's gay.
Wow.
Do you like it?
He's gay, man.
I'm sorry?
Does he do it for you, though?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Sounds like he's the perfect man. I don't understand what the issue is.
I know. Maybe, you know, sometimes when you're not used to someone being so good to you, when you're not used to good relationships, you know, you end up fighting the...
Well, honey, you know, let me give you some advice. Don't ruin a good relationship.
Right.
For no reason.
Right.
Okay, right. Sometimes you just put all these restrictions on yourself and you don't trust somebody. You put your guard up and things are going well. And then you're like, oh, my God, it's going so well. Something bad has to happen. Stop doing that.
Yep.
You're gonna bring that into existence.
It's not every day you date your gay best friend.
Oh, shut up.
Gay best friends are great people.
He seems like he's a giver, all right? So stick with that.
My goodness.
All right, thank you
Good luck,
so much.
Mama.
Thank you.
Ask ye 800-585-1051.
That wasn't even a reason for a question. I don't understand why people do that. Why do I think something's good and I want to ruin it?
Mm-hmm. Well, call her up right now. She'll help you with your problems at the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Fetty Wap 679. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Kim.
Hey, Kim. What's your question for Yee?
Okay, so there's this new girl at my job, and I became friends with her. So she was telling me about these different websites, you know, where you can order clothes and shoes and stuff.
Okay.
So I guess she used my phone number to
place order. What show was on Fashion Nova?
It was Shoe Dazzle. So okay. You know how you have to do have a subscription?
Yeah, you have like a membership.
And exactly. So she used my phone number, placed an order, and I guess she canceled it. So when I tried to go on Shoe Dazzle and place an order for my first time, my phone number became marked as fraud. And, you know, I was asking, like, who did this? And come to find out, it was her who used my phone number. And so I texted her, and I, like, went ham. Like, I cussed her out because I was upset. Like, why would you use my phone number?
Well,
I
can't why would she use your
website.
Phone number? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so she's just like, it's not a big deal. All you got to do is use somebody else's number. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, basically, we just stopped talking. So we just walked past each other at work. We don't talk or anything, but I feel like, should I apologize to her? Because, I mean, I was wrong for coming at her like that. Because it's
but how's she going to use your phone number and think that's okay and then tell you to do the same thing she did to you?
That is so true. That is true. But if you think about it now, I'm like, okay, it's just like, I mean, I guess I could just use another phone number to place another order. And I mean, we even know each other for that long. And I just feel like.
But she didn't even tell you she was doing this, right?
She said she told me, but I don't remember her asking to use my phone number. Like, I really don't remember having that conversation. But she swore, like, she asked to use it.
All right, sounds like a misunderstanding. I understand shoes are important because they're important to me, too. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
But this is also a new friend.
Exactly.
So you don't know the type of things that she does and if this is like some type of routine with her, of her doing things that are a little bit fraudulent. So that's the issue.
I believe she does some fraudulent stuff because, like, just everything she tells me, like, you don't know how to do this, you don't know how to do that. I get discounts on this, discounts on that. I'm like, how do you do all this?
You better
stuff?
Put a little fraud alert on all your stuff. Okay, but I'm going to say this. That's a new friend, and you already know she a little shiesty, right?
Yes.
But y'all work together.
Exactly, and we see each other every day.
So there's no reason that you guys can't be civil with each other at work, but I would also keep my distance from somebody like that. That doesn't seem like somebody that you need to add to your circle. You already had a bad experience early on. Plus, you know she'd be doing scam and stuff, and you don't want to get wrapped up in that.
It's true. So should I, like, be the bigger person, just like, okay, I'm sorry for coming at you the way I did. Like, we can't...
Yeah, you can do that, yes. You can say, listen... I didn't remember hearing you say that, but if you say you did, not a big deal. She didn't get no money was taken out of your account, right?
No.
Okay. So you should just tell her, I came at you wrong, but, you know, it just, I don't remember telling you that it was okay to use my phone number, but I will say I'll take the L. Maybe you did. And I would just be cordial at work because you don't want to be in a hostile work environment. And
be her associate, basically.
Yeah, it don't seem like the biggest deal in the world, but I also feel like it's a red flag that you should pay attention to, and it's not somebody you really need to continue trying to build a relationship with.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you. It's just been heavy on me, like, because I'm like, I was wrong for just coming out.
She made you feel like you was wrong. But, you know, and I do feel like sometimes we overreact and whatever, but she definitely needs to apologize to you as well for using your phone number and putting this little fraud thing on your account. That's whack.
Just take this as a lesson
and be glad. Just be glad you got out and that's all that happened, because it could have been much worse. She could have used your card. She could have charged all kinds of things up. So just take this as a sign. We're not meant to be friends. But, you know, nothing that bad happened. We could be cool. I'll be the bigger person. I'll apologize. It don't mean that much to me anyway, because it's not like that was my homie from back in the day.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for answering my question.
All right. Good luck. Ask Ye.
What's your number in case I need to order something?
No, stop it. 800-585-1051 if you got a question for Ye. Now, Ye, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we'll talk about Blac Chyna being blocked from using the Kardashian name. Also, Russell Crowe, what is the update on the charges against him from Azealia Banks? We'll tell you what happened and what she has to say about it.
Okay, all that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Russell Crowe is not going to be charged for the incident that happened with Azealia Banks. Now, the DA is saying that everything was justified. She was out of control. And several witnesses are saying that she was repeatedly using racial slurs and she was verbally aggressive to people in the room. And witnesses also said she picked up a glass, threatened to use it to cut the throat of a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did file a police report. She's saying that Russell had choked her, called her the N-word, and spit on her. But the DA did say that he physically had to remove her from the room to justify the threat of violence against some of the guests. And as for the spitting, they're saying it was incidental to preventing more serious threatened violence. And a witness says the spit didn't hit her at all anyway. I guess he just kind of spit and it didn't hit her. So he's not going to face any charges for that at all. Now, Azealia Banks did go to Facebook and she said, "Seriously heartbroken over this news of my case against Russell Crowe being thrown out. I paid a lawyer to defend me who went ghost 2 weeks ago. And now a DA is saying that he was justified in spitting on me." Banks also said that despite the findings, she was not going to let it get her down. She said, "One thing I won't do is let this ruin any parts of me. I've done enough crying in 2016 and 2017. Won't be the year I allow the media or anyone else to control my narrative."
Azealia's a tough cookie. Azealia sent me a book last week. And what's the name of this book? I still can't pronounce the name of this book. But she sent me a good book to read last week. It's called, how do you pronounce that, Chi?
You think I know?
What's that, the Dalugan?
Yeah, it looks like the Dalugon.
The Dalugon.
Because of the accent over the U.
Yes, the Orashas, Proverbs, Sacrifices, and Prohibitions of Cuban
Santeria.
Santeria.
Yes. Your reading just sounded all the way crazy.
Azealia Banks sent me that book last week. Drop on the clues bombs for Azealia Banks.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Evelyn Lozada, she was on The Real, and she was, you know, she's been guest hosting,
mm-hmm.
and she's coming back to Basketball Wives, and she talked about her domestic violence incident with Chad Ochocinco. Now, they were talking about Kansas City Chiefs player Tyreek Hill. He has a history of domestic violence. He was arrested 2 years ago after abusing and choking his pregnant girlfriend, and she talked about her own issues. Here is what Evelyn had to say.
I know, Evelyn, you had your own issues with domestic violence, and it's not easy, especially when you're on TV.
My heart goes out to the victim. And I know people, please don't tweet me telling me this happened 4 years ago. Get over it. It's something that stays with you forever. My main concern is for the victim, that she chose to love herself first. Mm. Honor yourself. And do the right thing, because if it happens once, we all know it's going to happen again.
All right. Okay. She was getting very choked up while she was reliving those memories. All right, Black China. Now, people are saying that they're trying, the Kardashians are trying to block her from using the Kardashian name. You know, she's been trying to get her name trademarked, Angela Renee Kardashian. She's trying to lock that down to use that for entertainment and social media. But the Kardashians are saying that if she gets that trademark, they're going to suffer damage to their reputation and goodwill. So they don't want to have her using that.
She's part of the family now.
I mean, it's not like people,
they can't really do anything.
It's not like the Kardashians brand is based off like morals and values and integrity. It's not like we look at them like, you know, they're a family of such high standing. So I don't understand how Black China could diminish their brand any more than this. I mean, it's never been diminished, but how could she diminish their brand?
What's she going to bring to it that's not there?
How's she going to bring y'all brand down? She got a fat ass. She knows how to twerk. Like, just another member
and
of the squad.
Kim and Black China at one point were hanging out every day together.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
All right, well, Black China's lawyer was also shocked to learn about this opposition after they filed to legally trademark her name. And he said the Kardashians, like Angela and my other clients, are very protective of our marks. I think for us, this is going to be a clear case win because it's actually her name. It's not a poaching. I would hope that this is just a junior lawyer's error who's just responding to everything and not really looking at who it's from or why it was filed. There's a softer side of this where Angela has to have a conversation with her family. But until I hear otherwise, I'm just going to proceed as I normally would with a lawsuit. I have 40 days to respond. So he's just saying, hopefully this is just some type of error, somebody that doesn't know enough is trying to file that, and it is going to be her name, so it's not like she's making up something.
Right.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got the People's Choice Mix. In the mix today, let's do a little Nicki Minaj. Today is her birthday, so let's get a little Nicki Minaj in the mix. All right, let me know what you want to hear. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.